Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Bob Backlund defeated Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Oh my God!
What action going back and forth?
Got an ass like an amphitheater.
It begins with a U, it ends with an A. Has a meal near shelter.
Monday Night Raw number one. All right.
Welcome everyone to the Cultaholic Classic Raw review as the other Cultaholic lads recover from another busy week in the Wednesday Night Wars. We are back via our Icapro powered DeLorean in the early 90s where the times are lean and the living is easy. And who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, former Cultaholic heavyweight champion, Tom Campbell. I am joined by the bear in the big blue bar cage, the man who is the head pen of Cultaholic. If you were to take a pencil, he would do to that pencil what Tyson Fury did to a pen on Monday Night Raw. He'd struggle. He'd eventually break it and throw it in your face because he does not need a pencil. He gets it right every time. He is Justin Henry and he is off of America.
Boy, of all the times I've struggled and threw something at somebody's face, it's a lot of a guidance counselor visits and things of that sort.
You made me spit the tea a bit then. Thank you, mate. How are you doing, Justin?
I'm enjoying my coffee here and thank you for not spitting it out.
Well done, mate. Well done. Have you had a lovely week?
I've had a good enough week.
Oh, a good enough week.
Yeah, I'm still just waking up here, so don't mind me. It's Friday morning.
It is very Friday-ish.
I'm not quite Shawn Michaels doing commentary level, but I'm fine.
He's somewhere between Shawn Michaels doing commentary and Rebecca Black getting up in the morning. Got to be fresh. Got to get out the house. It's Friday. Friday. Got to get down on Friday.
Well, it is quite a wide range to land in, so.
It's somewhere in that ballpark. That is where you currently live.
Let's just say it's autumn right now, and it's still warm out, but we have some cold days, so I have the confused weather sinus thing going.
There it is. Like the hay fever type affair. It's a bit hay fevery.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, dear.
But I shall persevere.
A salve will be chatting about old wrestling times with your old mate Tom Campbell. That's the plan, Justin Henry. Just give us a little tete-a-tete, a little bit of jive. Where and when are we this week, Justin?
Well, it is the last leg of this TV taping. It is broadcast day April 4th, 1994, the day after Easter here. It was taped on March 21st in Poughkeepsie, the day after WrestleMania 10.
And in the Wrestling Observer for this week, they had some very big questions to ask the readers. Namely, was Vince McMahon and Titan Sports involved in a conspiracy to get WWF wrestlers on steroids to increase ticket sales and merchandise? And also, WrestleMania 10, thumbs up, thumbs down, or thumbs in the middle? Did you just blow your nose then?
Slightly.
You made a comedy honk.
I put the phone as far away as I possibly could from my sitting position.
It was like Untitled Goose Game. It was delightful.
But continue on with your wonderful steroid diatribe there, Tom.
Yeah, so this week, the Wrestling Observer is very much about the steroid trial of Vince McMahon, whether or not he is, in fact, guilty of as we said, encouraging, sort of coercing, cajoling his wrestlers to beef up a little bit in return for higher pay and higher revenue and higher merch money. This trial would rumble on for quite some time, but it's getting quite hot and heavy at the moment. Also, we have a Jenny Garth update. Turns out Jenny Garth hated doing WrestleMania. You couldn't tell by her face. Garth was really unhappy about being there because she was getting a big payday for doing basically nothing. Why you'd be unhappy about that, I do not know. She had refused to do a skit that they'd lined up for her earlier on because she thought it was in bad taste. And she wasn't happy because of a security issue at the venue as well. She was basically in a down old mood and you could really see it. But she got paid a lot of money to turn up and be miserable.
She had to hang out with Burt Reynolds. How bad could that be?
Exactly. Like, you're hanging out with a drunk Burt Reynolds.
Besides, I mean, you know, Beverly Hills 90210 is not exactly the, you know, cultural heights of, you know, it's not really high art, is it? I mean, she got to watch Brett versus Owen and Shawn versus Razor up close.
Exactly. I don't know why she's complaining. In WCW at this point, there is a flyer doing the rounds locally for Slamboree, and they are planned Slam Meet and Slam Feast. This would be a precursor to what we now know as things like Starcade. But some big names are being, a lot of meat, slam meat.
You know, if Conrad were here, he'd correct you. It's called Starcast, dickhead. I don't copyright the Starcast name for you to call it Starcade.
Oh, I called it Starcade, didn't I? Sorry, Conrad. Chat me up on this, mate. Sounds about that.
Meltzer would write that Tom Campbell was wrong about everything. and he does it on purpose just to be different. What say you?
Well, I don't know about being wrong, but what I do know is sometimes the old pecker doesn't get up that well. That's why I use Blue Chew.
as we get ready for our Saturday podcast, 16 Weeks, the story of Eric Bischoff in the catering department.
I want that to be a thing. I want that to be a thing. Some of the names for the early version of StarCast, Slam Meet and Slam Feast, names like Dusty Rhodes, Vern Gagne, Killer Kowalski, Red Bastion, The Assassin, Ray Stevens, Mike Graham, Tommy Young, Greg Gagne, Tully Blanchard, Ole Anderson, Blackjack Mulligan, Hard-Boiled Haggerty, Larry Hennig, and Lou Thesz.
Tully Blanchard. He actually had a match at Slamboree that year.
Yeah, he was one of the more active veterans. He wasn't quite the all-time great yet.
Him versus Terry Funk in Philadelphia, and what a brawl it was.
Absolute chaos. Absolute chaos. Talking about absolute chaos, Cactus Jack will be missing Spring Stampede, we find out in the Wrestling Observer.
No, he won't. No, the hell he won't.
Oh, well, according to the Observer, he will.
Dave!
Dave Meltzer at this point. This is why it's funny. Well, I think he may or he may not. Well done, Dave. He says he's having no hearing problems, but he's having problems with his balance. So he definitely, absolutely won't be at Spring Stampede.
Where he would have a 5-star match with Max Payne and the Nasty Boys.
Exactly. He's not going to be there, so it's not a problem, mate. Why bothered?
Yeah, he won't be there to get hit in the head with a shovel by Jerry Sags.
Nope, you made that up. You made that up. And this is a fun little note, which was buried deep in the Wrestling Observer. I wanted to bring it up. Steve Austin has a new finishing move.
Would this be the That's a Wrap or Hollywood and Vine?
This would be the Fuller Leg Lock named the Hollywood and Vine.
Actually, Hollywood and Vine, because he had two moves at the time, I believe.
I just like the fact that Steve Austin had something before a stunner.
Well, yes. He had the $1 million dream when he was the ringmaster.
Where did the stunner come from?
Michael Hayes taught it to him.
Is that for real? Or is that just...
Yes.
So Michael Hayes taught him the stunner?
Yes, because actually, it's not really well known, but if you go back to 1994, when the Freebirds temporarily reunited in WCW, Jimmy Garvin did the move that Johnny B. Badd at one of their events. I think it was... was it Badd? I can't remember who he faced, but he did it to somebody at Super Brawl 4, and it was called the 911.
Oh, so
I don't know what order that it came in, whether Garvin did it first and then Johnny Ace took it or Johnny Ace did. I mean, Ace's version is like more of a cutter anyway.
Chances are Simpsons did it.
Yeah, Simpson might have done it. I think Moe did it first.
Simpsons always do these things first.
Well, we start off with a bit of conflict because Atom Bomb and Earthquake, who we're going to be facing off on this show tonight, are having an argument backstage, possibly over a parking spot. and they're just yelling at each other, these two monstrosities. In come the usual gang of idiots to separate them.
The usual gang of idiots. It's true as well. Just a bunch of nobodies.
That's what they called the editorial staff and writing staff at Mad Magazine. I always thought it was a great phrase.
The usual gang of idiots.
So it applies here. It's always, here comes Lanza, here comes the Hebners, here comes Briscoe, here comes all these guys to separate everyone. It's like, nowadays you have like Jamie Noble and Adam Pearce. And Adam Pearce, who was the most animated of the usual gang of idiots ever. Because he actually emotes when he yells at somebody during these pull-aparts.
He does. He's very active when he does that.
God bless Scrap Iron. But anyway, yes, the usual gang of idiots shows up and Bomb says, "You took a cheap shot at WrestleMania 10. Because he's mad about getting back jumped before their one-on-one match. And I got to say, hey, a little bit of intensity here.
Yeah, I like it.
I'm actually jazzed up for Adam Bomb versus Earthquake now. I don't know about you.
In one segment, they made us care about Adam Bomb versus Earthquake.
So the show opens with McMahon, special guest Gorilla Monsoon, who I'm always happy to see, and the magical green screen.
Oh, I love a bit of green screen action, especially when the crowd are cheering completely the wrong direction.
Yes, it's very AWA 1989-ish. This episode is so old. McMahon says, "Hall of Fame bound Gorilla Monsoon."
And you notice he drops in the old one of the all-time greats.
Well, yeah, because Monsoon's never going to wrestle again, unfortunately.
We actually joked with Paul London about that, who you'll hear on Desert Island Graps next week, where Paul was talking about, like, you know, feeling old and stuff in wrestling. And we said, and rightly so, as we discussed on this podcast, you don't feel old until Vince McMahon calls you one of the all-time greats. That's when you know you're old.
Yeah, Savage, Martel. At least Gorilla's pushing 60 at this point.
I think Gorilla's got one more match in him.
Even today.
Think about this, right? Because Gorilla's pushing 60. And you've got guys like Hogan. He's like, "Maybe, brother, I've got one more match in me." Could you imagine Gorilla Monsoon at this point, in this time period, going, "Well, you know what? I think I got one more match in me, too."
Yes, Monsoon shows up to a Joey Janela spring break. Wrestles Mance Warner. Actually, I kind of want to see that match now. Monsoon versus Mance.
Could you imagine?
If you folks out there don't follow Mance Warner on Twitter, do so immediately. He is the best wrestling Twitter guy there is. And a guy who should be a star today.
Completely, completely.
He is so goddamn entertaining. Anyway, back to a Gorilla here, who I think was a spry 56, 57 here. So to put that in perspective, like, who's 56 now? Undertaker almost is. Undertaker was almost the age that Monsoon is here. And we thought of Monsoon as, like, you know, your old uncle at this point.
And Undertaker's that same age.
Roughly. Maybe a couple years off, but
Bill Goldberg's a couple of years around that age.
Goldberg's probably about 52, so yeah, he's close. Hulk Hogan is 10 years older today than Monsoon was here.
And we're getting another match. Flair! Bloody Flair!
About a decade and a half older. Flair's like 12 years younger than Monsoon in real life.
So maybe we now got shortchanged about having a one more match for Gorilla Monsoon.
The hell of that. One more match for Randy Savage. Savage's like 41 at this point.
Yeah, he's one of the all-time greats, mate. He's done.
So who's 40? I mean, it's like Cassius Ohno's almost 40 now. Cesaro's almost 40.
I'll tell you who's 40. I'll tell you who's 40. AJ Styles is 42.
There you go.
One of the all-time greats, AJ Styles, joins me on commentary and nothing else.
Oh, God. Jeff Hardy's like the same age. Matt Hardy's older. For just some perspective here.
Is it funny? Is it funny if they had that same attitude now? Who would you have on the... Mind you, saying that, I'm sure IRS was up there in years.
I realize there are numbers and all that, and some guys can still go at an older age, say, Jericho or Dustin Rhodes or Minoru Suzuki, who will always be a badass. But, I mean, yeah, it's just... It is funny looking back that you realize that the guys you thought were old actually weren't as old as you thought.
They're not actually that old, you know. It comes to us all, and it's quite alarming.
So for the show, we have a 10-man tag from WrestleMania 10, the match that we didn't see.
This one is in the bag.
You're excited about that.
It's in the bag, mate. It's in the bag. 10 men in the ring for a 10-man tag.
That's right. Metal Mission promised.
Hell yeah! Bring it on.
We have Razor Ramon in action. We have plus Yokozuna. And Shawn Michaels debuts at the Heartbreak Hotel.
Oh, get it. I'm excited for this.
You know, all week long, like Monday, Tuesday, I'm not thinking about Heartbreak Hotel. I'm thinking, hell yeah, Razor's going to beat up a jobber. Razor's going to beat up a jobber. And coming like, oh, it's a bonus.
It's an additional feature, the flipping Heartbreak Hotel.
It's like free dessert at the diner. So McMahon gives Monsoon a baseball in honor of opening day. Which, you know, in front of the green screen, this is happening Monday. But obviously, this was these matches are a little bit older than just one day, or live, for that matter. Earthquake versus Atom Bomb in a match that was considerably longer than WrestleMania 10's match.
And considerably better.
Yeah, actually, this match was not bad at all.
I was very pleased to see these two really put the graft in.
I gotta say, Earthquake may have had the best minimalist theme song ever.
But you suggest that then Isaac Yankum DDS, the sound of drilling, wasn't good enough.
Well, that was okay also. But, I mean, Quake just had that, you know, just the heavy percussion, you know. Like, this is one guy you could have shaky cam for, the Kevin Dunn shaky cam. Because it would make sense, because he's the Earthquake.
I'm surprised they didn't. My memory told me they did at some point, but I think I made that up.
Well, I mean, the camera would shake when Quake was doing the tremors around the guy's body. When he was doing the initial just boom, boom, just jumping around, the camera would go up and down a little bit. We have a shoulder block contest with Quake just brushing off his arms as if Atom Bomb is nothing. Nice little pantomime there.
Yeah, I like it. It's a reminder that Atom Bomb is an absolute beast.
But the Earthquake's an even bigger beast.
He is indeed.
Vince makes a North Korea reference at this point that involves Atom Bomb, which a little disconcerting in the years since.
Slightly. I was quite surprised when... was I surprised? I don't know. When Vince said it, certainly made me stand up and go, oh, okay. All right, we're talking about that, aren't we?
There are way too many news references on this show. And we have one coming up in a moment that really made me like feel a little icky. After Quake falls into the Andre the Giant Memorial Rope spot, where he gets tied up by the arms, Harvey taunts Howard Finkel at ringside. Now, keep in mind, this is Harvey Whippleman. Vince has the audacity to compare this to Madonna's foul-mouthed tirade on David Letterman on The Late Show in that same time frame.
Just a desperate bit of clawing for some modern context, isn't it?
He compares Harvey Whippleman to Madonna. Now, I'm not the biggest Madonna fan, but wow.
I don't think I've noticed stretch quite like that.
I can't picture Harvey singing Material Girl.
I can help that. Well, I can't, but I know a guy who can.
Johnny boy.
Hey! John! Harvey Whippleman as Madonna!
In a material world. Material.
You know what to do, John!
Unfortunately, he does. Here you have these two big behemoths. One's 450 pounds, the other's about 300. They're hitting all these big power moves to each other. And you can't even hear the thud of the canvas because it's been taken out by the crowd suite.
Yeah, you need to be able to hear those thuds. That's part of the fun of the match.
Mm-hmm. Especially with two big guys in there. But it's almost like they're landing on a memory foam canvas or something, or a mattress. It's just all the sounds are just muffled because we got the steady doesn't actually exist in the arena.
Maybe it's just a whole lot of wrestling fans who are just so excited for everything.
Did you enjoy that match?
Do you know what? It was better than their match at 10. There was more to it.
Well, yeah.
It certainly gave a bit more oomph to Adam Bomb, which I think was necessary.
Between this and the 10-man tag, if they had just made Luger and Yoka like 5 minutes shorter, and they had maybe made the mixed tag a few minutes shorter, and just, I don't know, just done a little rearranging here, I think it could have had an even better WrestleMania.
You reckon?
I think so. I mean, 10 was great enough as it was. This is probably like a 2-star Hoss match right here.
It really was a good Hoss match. I like good beefy boy match. Yeah, it was no Joe Coffey, Dave Mastiff, but it was a good beefy boy match.
For just 4 minutes of just two guys hitting each other with their best shots and just dropping each other and hitting the big elbows and the big slams and all that, it was fine.
Yeah, I loved it.
Nothing wrong with it at all. You need a match like this for a little bit of balance.
Yeah, I agree.
So we get footage of Lex Luger being screwed over at WrestleMania by Mr. Perfect and his allegedly shoddy officiating. And then Luger in this leather jacket starts making threats from this promo room. That's actually not the worst Luger promo I've ever heard in my life.
He's certainly done worse, which isn't the greatest of compliments, but he certainly has done worse.
He gets to the point, you screwed me over my crowning moment, now I'm going to pay you back. Nice and simple. And it's more believable than, well, I'm an all-American boy. I was good in this class. I excelled at this sport. But shut up and just be a badass.
Yeah, this meant more. This meant more. I think it was Lex Luger at least attempting to speak from the heart a bit.
We make fun of Lex Luger, but given his musculature at this time, I would not want him mad at me. He would tear me off like a tight T-shirt. So we go to the ring where Monsoon is going to interview Mr. Perfect. Who is wearing a suit with a lot of buttons.
I like Perfect's suit here. It's really nice. I like the rhinestone Mr. Perfect on the back as well. I thought that was really nice.
Perfect insists he called the match right down the middle because he's Bill Alfonso. And in a nice little verbal gaffe, he goes, I tried to be biased.
Yeah, that was I don't know how deliberate that was, but I really like that because all the while throughout this bit with Perfect, he has been completely banged to rights with this. I did it for this reason. You cheated. You got the manager of the ring. I had to get the manager out of the ring. And this is the first time we see that veneer slip a little bit. And I really like that. I don't know if it was deliberate or not, but I liked it.
Well, they do kind of work it in a little bit later on in the show by pointing out that gaffe, which kind of does add a little cover and make Perfect look even shadier. So that's actually worked out to a degree. And of course, Perfect obviously takes umbrage of being shoved by Luger, and he gives it a very stern line. When you touch Mr. Perfect, you're gonna pay for it. Perfect got his point across. Luger swears revenge. He's gonna try to get revenge. Okay, great. But then Monsoon grabs Perfect, and he does not pay for it because Monsoon, who is the scariest man in that ring, says you may have Mr. Perfect written on the back of your jacket. But soon you're going to have something written on the front of your jacket. It's going to say, Made in the USA.
Because apparently, Gorilla Monsoon's going to buy Mr. Perfect a Lex Luger t-shirt. It was a clumsy line. And you know what? It ran the risk of burying Perfect. Like, why did Gorilla Monsoon have to win?
Exactly.
There was no need for him to win.
I love Gorilla and everything. But, I mean, come on now.
Would Gorilla have stood for whichever peon was interviewing him back in his heyday and them going, well, Gorilla, I think you're rubbish. Yay! He wouldn't have stood for that.
Well, given that Monsoon was this big sea creature from Manchuria who didn't speak English, he probably would have eaten the guy's face.
Well, even better. All the more so. Yeah, I like Gorilla. I think he's a big part of wrestling history. Genuinely, you have the gosh darn Gorilla position in WWE for Gorilla Monsoon.
Yep.
The Dusty position in AEW.
Now we do, yes.
Which is nice. So what do we call the Gorilla position in Impact? I'm thinking we call it the Dixie Carter position.
How about the whoever the hell's in charge this week position?
Yeah, that's it. I like that. Nice and catchy. Big fan of that. Yeah, but Gorilla didn't need to.
It sounds like something Vince would authorize in order to make sure that somebody cheered during the segment, give him something to cheer for. Vince makes sure to say, what a matchup that's going to be. I'm thinking Monsoon versus Perfect.
Yeah, is that what he's teasing here? Like, are we getting Perfect versus Luger?
No, we are not.
Oh, for the love of God. All the time, we get dropped.
Well, some issues come up, and we're not going to see Perfect anymore on this show for at least a year and a half.
Is this the last time we see him?
I believe it is.
Oh, gosh.
Teased all that for nothing.
Jeez.
So we come back, Razor Ramon versus Austin Steele, who we saw facing Lex Luger on a previous taping of this show. He's basically a wider body version of like 80s Flair.
Yeah, he looks a bit like a puffy Ric Flair here, to be nice.
He looks like Flair from a distance.
If you squint your eyes, it's Ric Flair. It's for anybody who wants to put on a wrestling show in an arena where the ring is very far away, you can get Ric Flair for a discounted price.
Yes. We're honoring all of our far-sighted fans here. Here's Ric Flair. It's a charity event. Big man points out the perfect verbal gaffe when he says, I try to be biased. I certainly did.
Yeah, I'm glad he pulled that up. I'm glad that's a thing.
We saw a dude with an awesome white zombie shirt in the crowd. Want to hang out with that guy now? We learn at this point that Monsoon and Johnny Polo host All-American Wrestling now. Actually, on some of his Coliseum releases at the time with Polo doing commentary with Monsoon, like dubbing over like dark matches and stuff, they were a hilarious team.
I think I like that Johnny Polo. I always remember Johnny Polo was commentating on a match with Joey Morella refereeing. Mm-hmm. And he was going, oh, I hate these. Gorilla, I hate guys like this. These young referees like Joey Morella. I don't think he's got what it takes. Like, just really prodding Gorilla over his son refereeing. I love that.
There was one where it was like Undertaker versus Crush. And Polo pointed out that every time Tigger always does a sit-up after 3 seconds exactly. Count like it's 1, 2, 3. Say he did it! It's like Wrestling Mystery Science Theater. Polo's just amusing himself and Mike Monsoon's getting annoyed, but yet it somehow worked.
Polo is just doing his own thing, and Polo is breaking the fourth wall a little bit, which I really like.
So Razor's just beating the hell out of Faux Flair here.
Yeah, did they fall out or something? Because like Razor's being really harsh with Austin Steele.
Chopping the hell out of him.
Yeah.
Just kind of stiff him a little bit. I mean, it's Razor, so it's whatever. Monsoon keeps calling Razor the Ladder Man. Trying to get that phrase over.
At least if you're going to call him the Ladder Man, call him the Ladder Mang.
How about the Ladder Meng?
The Ladder... Oh my God, Meng in a ladder match. He just eat the ladder.
He pointed whoever's in the rafters controlling the cable, and they would piss their pants of fury and lower the belt to him immediately. Not climb that stupid thing. What are you, nuts? How come in Money in the Bank, Mr. Kennedy never won the match by just standing under the briefcase and doing the arm thing upward and have him lower the briefcase right to him?
And have the wire, the person controlling the wire, just by muscle memory, just start lowering the briefcase.
Exactly.
Not paying attention. This is just muscle memory.
All seven guys brought outside the ring. Kennedy just, all right, let's give it a shot.
That'd be brilliant.
So while Monsoon's all ladder manning and Austin Steele's getting his areolas knocked off, we learned that over in England, Men on the Mission and the Quebecers had some title switches. At the Royal Albert Hall, Men on the Mission won the belts, and the Quebecers got back a few days later in Sheffield, England. There was an urban legend that Men on the Mission won the belts by accident. That when Mabel splashed Pierre, Pierre just didn't kick out in time. And they just went with the switch and figured, well, we could just change it again in a few days or whatever, that they weren't supposed to win the belts.
Man
on a mission's going to win, whether he wants to or not.
He's apparently German as well. That's excellent. Really? That sounded very German. That sounded quite Deutsch.
Was it Alex Wright?
It was. I'd say it was Alex Wrong.
No, he was right because he said Bulldog was going to win, and he was right.
There we go. I stand corrected in my orthopedic shoes. It was actually not a bad show at the Royal Albert Hall. The WWF fans in 94 were treated to Quang defeating the 1-2-3 Kid, IRS defeating Doink, Earthquake versus Bigelow, Battle of the Big Lads.
I wouldn't mind watching that match.
Jarrett versus Coco Beware again. That's good.
Nice.
The aforementioned tag title match, and in the main, Bret Hart versus Owen Hart for the WWF Championship.
That's not bad at all.
It's a good card. Pretty much the same card in Sheffield, but with the exception of the belt switching back again.
I'm looking over here at the card for Oldenburg, Germany on the same night. let's compare here. We got Bart Gunn versus Fatu.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Sparky Plug beating Adam Bomb by DQ. We have women's champion Wonder Blaze beating Leilani Kai, who is our only challenger at that point, apparently. Razor Ramon beating Shawn Michaels in an Intercontinental title match. Rick Martel defeating Bastion Booger.
Oh, jeez.
And Lex Luger and Randy Savage in the main event being Yokozuna and Crush.
Ooh. I have a feeling that maybe Germany won that, maybe. It seems more star-laden than the Royal Albert Hall one.
Can we agree on one thing, though?
Mm.
They did not have the roster to run two separate shows.
Oh, absolutely not. I find it amazing that they had the temerity to attempt to run two shows on the same night with these rosters.
Actually, while I'm on this page, let me just point out, Professor, Razor kills Austin Steele, wins with a Razor's Edge. Yeah. Who cares about that match, really?
Really, really battered him.
I'm going to scroll forth on my results archive here to July 7th, 1994. What could be my favorite show of all time? WWE ran a C show in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania.
Oh my
on
God.
July 7th, 1994.
A C show getting a C town. Okay.
These were the six matches on the show, and I am not making this card up.
I am ready, mate. I'm ready.
Jim Powers defeated Damian Demento.
We start strong.
Is this 1994, really?
1984, perhaps.
In a midgets match, the Mighty Doom defeated Little Leopard.
Jesus.
I have to say after each one, I am not making this up. Get ready here. Sergeant Slaughter defeated Quebecer Pierre.
Oh, my God. Gosh, Stone the Crows. There's a lot of good faith in the WWF at this point.
Oh, you have no idea. Get ready for this one.
Yeah.
Iron Mike Sharp defeated Glenn Osborne.
Oh, Jesus.
This is like an independent show from 1996 in New Jersey.
God, and WWE got slandered for the thought of running 205 Live as a C-show touring brand. Like, that is abysmal compared to that.
I have to say, if you advertised this card and I was aware of it and was like local, I would absolutely have gone in 2 seconds.
Do you know what? I probably would have gone out of the morbid curiosity.
Hell yes. I mean, Sergeant Slaughter's going to be there. Jesus.
So am I.
Hang on. Heidi Lee Morgan defeated Rusty Thomas.
Who are either of those?
Heidi Lee Morgan's the one that Lunger Blaze beat to win the belt.
Oh, okay, fair enough. That name had already fallen out of my brain.
She trains locally at my gym.
Of course! Your gym friend, Heidi Lee Morgan. That's it. Why is she on the show yet?
Because I've never met her.
Well, you need to work on that.
I really do. And your main event, and what could have been a main event 13 years earlier, Bob Backlund defeated Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Oh, my God! I hope the tickets were off price. Oh, Jesus.
Oh,
wow. Are you insulting?
Only 200 fans went to watch this show.
Oh, really? That is a shock. Who is the star on that show?
Sarge.
Sarge, isn't it? It's Sarge. Sarge is the biggest star.
You have two former world champions in Sarge and Backlund.
Wow, the new generation. What's your main event? Bob Backlund versus Greg Valentine. Wow.
Oh, like you wouldn't have gone.
Oh, I mean, yeah, of course I would. I'm not an idiot. I love a shonky wrestling show. I'd have been there in a heartbeat.
Let me tell you something. If they ran Backlund versus Valentine today at the garage, you'd be there in 3 seconds.
Do you know what? Yeah, I would. I'd be there. This is wrestling.
I'd fly over there just to watch that show.
Bob Backlund versus Orange Cassidy.
Oh, God. Jacques and Pierre are going to be defending the belt against a random babyface tag team that'll be chosen by you, the fans out there. It'll either be, and these are your choices.
Yeah.
Sorry?
I was going to say, now, bear in mind, last week we had the big angle with the head shrinkers and the Quebecers. So, hit us with our options.
The Bushwhackers. The Smoking Guns, and Men on a Mission.
Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it.
If you go back to the 88 Survivor Series, your babyface options would have been the Heart Foundation, the Powers of Pain, the Rockers, and the British Bulldogs. Well, Tom, it's finally come. The match you've longed to see, the match in the bag.
10 men in the ring for a 10-man tag.
Now, I have to ask, did this match meet your expectations?
Do you know what? This was good fun. I enjoyed this. Mm-hmm. This was a good fun knockabout match. I was all right with this. I enjoyed it.
Well, for those of you who don't know who the guys are in this match, it's supposed to be the Mania 10. Jeff Jarrett, IRS, the Headshakers, and Rick Martel versus Tatanka, the Smoking Guns, Sparkplug Holly, and the 1-2-3 Kid. A lot of talent, one match there.
Do you know what? It's a busy mid-card in that whole thing.
It's supposed to happen at Mania 10, but because of time constraints, apparently the ladder match went long. I think actually Luger versus Yoko went long, causing Bomb and Quick to be just 30 seconds. And then ladder match went a little bit longer also, and it got this match bumped from the show completely. I think it's funny, though, that we have a match here where 1-2-3 gets pinned by the guy who 25 years later, he'd be on WWE Watch Along, bitching about the finish of a match that involved that guy's kid.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Isn't it weird? I love stuff like that when you watch things like this in the match.
We have a Hell in a Cell match and a friggin' DQ.
And a DQ to friggin' Hell in a Cell. Glad to see the 10-man tag is finally in the bag, Justin.
It's finally in the bag and it was worthwhile. And it probably would have been like the fourth or fifth best match at WrestleMania, in all honesty.
It would have stood right out. If that had made it to the show, then it would have been WrestleMania would have been a whole lot better.
Even at Mania 10 at this point, either the best or the second best Mania ever, depending on how you felt about 3.
Yeah, it's weird because you look back in time and it really wasn't it didn't stand out as time goes on. But at the time, yeah, I guess it really was probably one of the best WrestleManias.
I mean, yeah, two of the greatest Mania matches of all time on one night. It's a two-match show, but what a two matches they were. So we go from the 10-man tag to the debut of the Heartbreak Hotel.
This is before the SmackDown Hotel. This was the hotel that stood before it. Incidentally, around about this time, there is some legit hotel concerns in the WWE because the WWE hotel looks like it's been put on hold. And this was going to be a big money spinner for the WWF in Las Vegas. And now it doesn't look like it's happening at all. I do hope we get the hotel built, Justin.
We get SmackDown Hotel on one of the SmackDown games. Does that count?
Yeah, that's close enough.
Now, I have to question something here. This is a different venue, right?
It looks like a bigger venue, a much bigger venue.
It's like a Superstars taping. There's like spliced into the Raw taping somehow.
Yeah, because there's no way this would have fitted in the venue that they were in before. And also, there's more people there.
Yeah, because Shawn and Diesel have like the sea of humanity behind them. It's like they're in like a concert venue, and they're up on the stage, and we're filming from behind from the back of the stage. This is a way to keep Shawn busy without having him wrestle. He's doing the Piper thing at this point where he's not wrestling on TV, keep himself fresh, but he's also maintaining a presence. And as we find out in this segment, he'll be managing Diesel going forward for a little bit.
Why was he not wrestling at this point? Was he injured?
He wasn't really injured. It was just like a freshening thing where he'd gone so hard for so long that he was just recharging. He was still wrestling on like house shows and dark matches at tapings, but not in actual televised matches.
Hmm.
And in fact, he would not wrestle another televised match until August.
Really? That far away?
That far away.
Blimey. He's got the Brock Lesnar schedule going on then.
He's managing Diesel at this point. Well, first, how about we discuss the aesthetic of this set here?
I loved it. Oh, the big old heart-shaped bed, slate chaise lounge. A nice little touch, which I missed first time round. Then when I watched it again, I saw it. The lamp in the shape of a woman's leg.
Yes, Sean got the Christmas Story lamp.
That's great. That's great. I really like that. I love the setup. It's beautiful to crack. Now, as far as like wrestlers' personal interview segments go, this is up there with the barbershop.
but obviously beneath Piper's Pit.
Obviously, Piper's Pit is the original Piper's Pit. I'm talking about. You know, I still believe, and it's not a popular opinion, that the Firefly Funhouse could have potentially been an interview segment.
It could have been, but you don't want to have some human being intruding upon it and then killing the cool vibe of it, like, say, what happened this past Monday.
Yeah, that's true. The last guest that turned up burned it down. Why did you burn it? You burnt it down too much, Seth. Honestly, Seth, you burnt down too much.
I mean, right now I realize Seth Rollins is the equivalent of the Antichrist in most people's eyes. Let me ask you this. If he showed up on Dynamite this week and jumped Jon Moxley, how much would the crowd cheer?
Oh, he'd be the hottest guy in wrestling. He truly, truly would.
I'd be down with it. But of course, it would contradict everything he said about, you know, taking money, taking food off my table, even though I'm the main event guy. Anyway.
You pretty much nailed the laugh there, sir.
Well, because I'm sick.
We didn't get a guest for the Heartbreak Hotel. I thought we might have got a guest.
I think this week they're just establishing the set here. Also, when you mentioned the lips throw pillows.
Yeah.
Did you see those?
I like them. That was cool. I initially thought they were other hearts. They were smaller hearts. Then you got close. You went, oh yeah, they were indeed.
We had the nice lazy sleeping bang neon lighting for the sign Heartbreak Hotel. It just screams sleaze.
It's perfect. They've pitched it so well for our boy Shawn Michaels. And you know what? If you want to keep him on TV but you don't want him wrestling, this is a great device to keep him there. You know, utilize that absolute sleaziness, that animosity towards him, and channel it into a device like this that could easily put other people over, and as well as Diesel.
Yeah, Diesel's gonna get the big rub out of this. Shawn mentioned at one point that there's to be no five fingering paws of ashtrays.
You dirty poor vort.
Shawn mentions Razor Ramon and Diesel peers menacingly over his shades. Very menacingly.
He is the most menacing.
This is probably the scariest Kevin Nash has ever been in wrestling.
I like him. And again, it's with watching him here, you can see this is a guy that's going to break out.
Because Diesel's going to challenge Razor for the Intercontinental title. And that's going to be...
Yeah, they mentioned it, didn't they? Did they actually announce when it's happening? Because unless I'm mistaken, I don't think they did.
They didn't, but I'll say this, it is not going to be on Raw.
No. They just kind of said, oh, it's happening. If I was a bone, mate, when's it happening?
Well, it's... just something to build to.
Mm-hmm.
And Shawn says to Razor, you can check out, but you can never leave.
Welcome to the Hotel California. Get the cat excited. Get the cat excited.
Is that like a metaphor for today? Today's WWE, you know, you can check out, but you can't leave, a la Luke Harper and Mike Kanellis.
Do you know what? That is brilliant. WWE is indeed Hotel California.
You can check out, but you can't leave. How did Ty Dillinger get out? We don't know. Anyway.
The same way, the same door Alicia Fox got out via the alumni.
Yeah, that's kind of a sudden escape.
What's Felicia Wolf doing in the AEW zone, Maggle? Wait for it, it'll happen.
I was going to say Alyssa Hound.
Oh, nice. That's better.
Alyssa Hound.
Alyssa Hound. Alyssa Hound.
But seriously, given how her year is going, I hope she's doing well.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, we send love to Alicia Fox, like one of the longest serving members of the women's division in WWE. Big love to Alicia. You've set records. You've set the bar.
You know how hard it is to transition from wedding planner to women's champion in just 2 years?
Exactly. She's a grafter.
Exactly.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Yokozuna versus Scott Powers.
Yeah, Scott, who looks a bit like a chubby Bob Backlund with a mustache and bako foil.
Nice little mullet, too.
Yeah, cracking mullet action going on from Scott Powers. I like how, like, Fink announces him. And he goes, Scott Powers! And Scott, like, defiantly puts his hand in the air. I'm like, mate, I know it's suspension of disbelief, but we all know what's going to happen here. Like, don't pretend that this is your night.
Well, he's a projecting power like his Spinal Tap. Charlie Sheen's in The Wraith, coming up next on USA. Whatever crappy movies they can get a hold of. So it's your typical Yoko squash. Powers has no chance. Just selling the idea that Yoko's pissed off because he lost the belt. Not because the ropes were apparently loose late in that match against Brett. We get a nice touch here after Yoko hits the big leg drop. Goes for the bonsai. He checks the ropes to make sure they're tight before he goes up.
Yeah, which makes sense because he is getting chubbier. So it's just a nice little double check before he does.
Because apparently Mandy was so hard hitting that the ropes were loose because of what they should have done is have Yoko feud with Sean. Because when Sean crotched himself in the ladder match and got tied up in the rope, that caused him to be loose for the next match. So when Yoko went for the bonsai, he slipped.
Oh, really?
That's what they should have done.
Oh, I thought that happened. Oh, I thought that actually happened.
No, see, that's brilliant. They wouldn't have done it.
Oh, that's true.
You could tie one into the other.
But I do
blame Sean.
It's true. But to go back to it, the whole thing of testing the ropes, I think is a nice little touch for WrestleMania 10. I like that. Like you can see that like, the fact that he doesn't just test him, he takes a little while to look at him as well. Like he's a little bit anxious about going up for the bonsai. I like that. It gives that little element of doubt to Yokozuna, this powerful big lad who is just suddenly a little bit cautious of like is this the right thing to do? Or do we need a new finisher?
He was betrayed by the ring crew.
What a story that'd be. If every time Yoko went up for the bonsai, the ropes broke, and it turned out that Bret Hart or Lex Luger had paid off the ring crew to loosen up the buckles.
I have Yokozuna versus Klondike Bill.
I am there. I am ready. My body is ready for that match.
Klondike Bill should have his own documentary on the network with Tony Schiavone to just extolling his virtues.
Give it time. Give it time. They're doing everybody at the moment. Give it time.
So Yoko hits the bonsai, gets the pin, stays seated for like 30 seconds after the fact because he's pissed off. He's going to take out his aggression on Mullet Man, Scott Powers.
Yeah, he just sits there for ages. He comes down quite hard on Powers, I put here. Like, he really drops on him. I feel like he crushes his throat a little bit.
It's not quite the end of Bill, but it's close.
Yeah. It's a half de Bill.
Yes. Do Bill or not do Bill?
That's what Yoko thinks just before he comes off the ropes. De Bill or not de Bill? This one's a de Bill. Bye.
That was the question. So we go to the plug for next week. It's Quebecers versus... We don't know.
Quebecers versus who? Quebecers versus the two mystery teasers for a Cultaholic news video. I'm hoping it's the Bushwhackers, mate.
You should have voted in 1994. You could have gotten the Bushwhackers. call the 900 number.
I liked it. I just find it funny how they did the whole bit with the head shrinkers and they went, okay, we need a challenger. Bushwhackers, get in there. Wait, hang on. What about that story you told last week?
That's it for this week's show. It's back to a live show next week. I can't remember the location, but
there's going to be fresh matches this time around.
Yeah, we're at that point now where I'm ready for some. Mind you, saying that, we didn't get the sort of the slow dribble of random matches that we've had previously at the end of a taping run. This felt like a packed show with stuff. Mm-hmm. It felt like, you know, Earthquake and Adam Bomb, the big 10-man tag. We got Shawn Michaels' Heartbreak Hotel somewhere completely different, regardless. So it felt like a full show. So it means going into a live show and a new, fresh set of tapings. I'm quite excited.
Oh, actually, I'm just glancing at the tapings right now, and it's actually a pretty promising taping.
Oh, okay.
In fact, next week's episode is going to have the debut of a certain somebody who would hold gold in the company in the future, but not as a wrestler on the show.
Oh! Goldberg.
Close enough.
As a ring announcer.
So there's your tease.
Oh, you cheeky tease. That was a good one. Enjoyed that. Thank you very much to Gorilla and Vince for doing some wonderful commentary in front of crowd cheering the opposite way. Thank you to Justin Henry. I hope your seasonal cold or your appalling case of sniffles clears away and you have a prosperous weekend.
I would do my best to do just that. Thank you very much.
He is at JRH Writing. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we are at Cultaholic. Get the cats excited. I love you. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.